The next application is an application from Coastal Club LLC, an ordinance to modify condition number 1, 4, 13, and 17 imposed on ordinance number 1770 for change of zone number 1554. The original application of Marine Farm LLC for the Coastal Club, a MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential plant community, and to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential plant community, to a MR, medium density residential district, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, for a 13.425 acres, more or less, portion of the property. 911 address was not available. Tax map ID is District 334, Map 11, Parcel 5, 395, and 396. For the benefit of the record, the council has a copy of the Planning and Zoning Commission report. The public hearing on this application was held on April 9th of 2015. The report makes reference to an exhibit booklet provided by the applicants, the County Engineering Utility Planning Division comments, Conservation District provided comments, Preston Shell, one of the developers, Jim Fuquay, Esquire, Fuquay, Urey, and Willard Professional Association, Zach Crouch, professional engineer with Davis, Bowen, and Friedel Incorporated, and Bruce Wright from the First State Community Action Agency all gave testimony on behalf of the application. Ross and Allen Eccles, Michael Miller, Gerald Allen, Monroe Brittingham, Gay Allen Moore, all gave testimony in opposition to some of the conditions. The representatives of the application provided responses to some of the comments that came from the opposition based on requests of the Planning and Zoning Commission to respond. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application and did make a motion to defer action for further consideration. On April 23rd of 2015, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Robertson advised the commission that this application was to request modification of those conditions 1, 4, 13, and 17, and gave some lead information for the commission to consider. Mr. Johnson made reference to they separated each of the four and tried to get them more specifically for benefit of reading. So pages 9 through 16, 9 through 15, the top part of page 15, all relate to amendments to the conditions 1, 4, 13, and 17. And the last portion makes reference to the acreage that's proposed to be a change of zone from MRRPC to MR. Rather than me read 6 pages to the council, it's before you in the record.
Thank you.
I will add that these were received on May 14th as an exhibit booklet for the council.
Okay. Are there any questions from council? If not, Mr. Fuquay.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Stever, gentlemen. For the record, my name is James Fuquay. I'm the attorney representing Coastal Club LLC. As Lawrence stated, this is an application requesting modification of an existing MRRPC by removing a 13.4-acre parcel from the RPC and by amending several of the conditions that were placed on the original approval. This RPC is a change of zone number 1554. It was approved on April 19th, 2005. It originally was known as the Marine Farm, and it's now called Coastal Club. It's located on Beaver Dam Road, just west of Five Points. Lawrence just handed out to you a small packet of exhibits that I had submitted that I will be referring to in my presentation. With me is Blake Thompson, who is one of the principals, along with Preston Schell, and Zach Crouch of Davis Bowen and Friedel. I'm going to try to make this as simple as I can. It sounds more complicated than it is. Most of the amendments are kind of housekeeping things, and I'll explain those. What I want to try to do is give you a little bit of history of how this development came to be, and some of the changes that occurred that gave rise to why we're seeking these amendments. Mr. Cole was the only one on the council at the time this was approved, so you wouldn't have any knowledge of what occurred on this. So back in April of 2005, Sussex County Council approved Change Zone 1554, which was the application of Marine Farm LLC. That application was for an MRRPC containing 630 residential units. It's a mixture of single-family and multifamily units on a parcel of land containing 374 acres, and that approval was subject to 18 conditions. Now, that approval obviously was 10 years ago, and as you can imagine, a lot of things have changed in the past 10 years, and some of those things have affected the RPC. First of all, before any work was done on the development, you'll recall that the economy in general and development in particular slowed and then basically ground to a halt in the recent recession that we went through. As happened to a lot of developments and a lot of developers, the Marine Farm developers had loans that went into default and ultimately resulted in the lender taking back a deed to the property in lieu of foreclosure. And at some point in time, several years ago, Mr. Schell and Mr. Thompson, as Coastal Club LLC, purchased the property from the lender, and they are now in the process of construction of the very first phase of the development. So although this was approved 10 years ago, it really has just started construction. So Coastal Club LLC is the current owner and developer of the property, but they were not the original developer when the application was approved in 2005. Now, as I said, a lot of things have changed in the past 10 years. I'm going to mention three things, three changes that occurred that really resulted in an effect on our application. So in addition to the change in ownership, the original Marine Farm RPC was planned to have an on-site wastewater treatment plant that was going to be operated by Tidewater. So it was going to be a private on-site treatment plant. That plant was located on a parcel of land that was 13.4 acres. It was at the westernmost side of the development. And so that 13.4 acre parcel was just going to have the wastewater treatment plant on it. That actual piece is somewhat physically separated from the rest of the development by a creek that runs along the southern boundary, and then there's wetlands on the eastern side of that piece. So really physically it's not connected directly to the remainder of the RPC, and nothing was planned to be on that piece of property except for the wastewater treatment plant. Now, over the past 10 years, the county sewer has been expanding in that direction, and after Mr. Thompson and Mr. Schell purchased the property, it was determined that the county wanted to serve that area, and the developers, Coastal Club LLC, preferred the county serving that area. So the developers actually paid Tidewater Utilities $2 million to release the land from Tidewater's service area so that the county could provide service there. So that's been done. It's in the county sewer district, and it will be served by county sewer. The second thing that's changed is that at the time of the original approval, there was an eagle family residing on the property in a tree on the site. In accordance with federal law, since eagles were at that time an endangered species, There were federal regulations about how you dealt with that, and basically an area with a 750-foot radius was required to be maintained as a non-disturbance buffer area. And that was provided on the site plan as part of the design, and it was required by condition 13 of the approval. And I think it's pretty obvious to see where that area was. Right here was the eagle's nest. That was the 750 radius around it.
I think he might come back.
Now, the change that has occurred is that the former eagle's nest site has been abandoned. Mm-hmm. It's been abandoned since 2007. The eagle is gone. The bald eagle management plan is no longer required by the federal authorities, and that has been confirmed by Ed Linné of Environmental Resources, Inc., through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The third change that occurred is that at the time of the original approval, the developer voluntarily offered, and the county incorporated this as condition of approval number 17, that the developer would construct certain infrastructure improvements in the area known as Jimtown, which is an older residential area that's located next to the Coastal Club site. And I want to emphasize that these improvements were voluntarily offered by the developer, who also requested that they be listed as conditions of approval, and the county did that, as I said, in condition number 17. Those improvements included extending the sewer service to the Jimtown lots by the use of the development's wastewater transmission lines and treatment plant that was going to be the plant on site. The developer was going to run transmission lines and then treatment lines to the plant. The developer agreed to extend Tidewater Central Water service to the lots. The developer agreed to top coat Jimtown Road and to place certain signage along there with DelDOT's permission, and also agreed to install street lights on Jimtown Road and sidewalks on one side of Jimtown Road. Now, if you actually go to the conditions about sidewalks and street lights, and they were conditions 17C and 17D, what the county required at that time, and I'll quote what the county's condition said, they said the sidewalks and the street lights were required if desired by the residents of Jimtown. The reason for that language was that at the time of approval, there was disagreement among the residents of Jimtown whether sidewalks and streetlights were desired, and that was just a fact. So the council kind of punted on that one by saying, if desired, you have to do it. In 2007, 2 years after the original approval, some of the residents requested the developer at that time, Marine Farm, to modify or actually delete some of the conditions. So at the request of those residents, the developer at that time came back before the Planning Commission and the County Council seeking to delete or modify some of these conditions. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended against that. As I recall, the reception from the County Council was not in favor of that either, and that request was withdrawn. The developer went with those original conditions. And again, I stress, that wasn't the developer trying to get out of the conditions. The developer filed that at the request in a petition that was filed by some of the area residents. So, make a long story short, after Mr. Thompson and Mr. Shell took over, they're ready to move forward now, but they still had to determine the desire of the residents of Jimtown. 10 years later, it was still a question what that is. So in order to do that in a fair manner, what the developer did in cooperation with Sussex County, they requested first State Community Action Agency, Inc., to coordinate and assist the developer and the residents of Jimtown in reaching this determination. So information was provided to the residents. A public meeting was held to discuss the issues and answer questions down at the Faith Bethel United Methodist Church in Belltown. Bruce Wright and Bernice Edwards from First State Community Action were present there, and they coordinated the meeting. And Mr. Lawson's also attended that meeting. Mrs. Deaver attended that meeting. And I think they would both confirm, and when Mrs. Deaver comes back, I can ask her. Let me put it this way. There were very strong opinions both ways. So in other words, after 10 years, we still were kind of where we were 10 years ago regarding the streetlights and the sidewalks. So after that meeting, there was additional information provided to by First State, and First State actually supervised a vote on the issue. It had been determined by First State and the county and the developer that there were 44 eligible voters, of which 29 were property owners. The voting was conducted by First State. They found that as to streetlights, there were 10 yes votes and 4 no votes, and as to sidewalks, there were 11 yes votes and 3 no votes. The majority did not vote. So that's just the factual information from the vote. So as I said, as a result, after 10 years, the question of the desire of the residents is still not a decided issue, and the council needs to resolve that. We're really here as a developer basically asking, tell us what to do here. When I'm done, I think you're going to hear both sides of this. Again, I would just remind you, we're seeking specific instructions regarding what we applied for. There's other issues that really are beyond, I think, the scope of today's hearing, and just keep that in mind. So with that as background, and I'm sorry that took so long, but you really needed to know all that, the best way to consider our request, I think, is just gearing it right toward the recommendations made by the Planning and Zoning Commission. It'll keep it simpler and less confusing. I prepared a summary of the developer's response and position regarding the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation. And I'll kind of summarize that as I go through this. So if you, as Lawrence stated, there were actually 6 separate motions made by the Planning Commission to address this application. Condition number 1 referred to, what that addressed was, in the original conditions, it referred to central sewer. And all we were requesting was to bring a current that it's going to be county sewer. So it was really just a housekeeping matter. Mm-hmm. The second part of that was, let me just read that so we have this clear. The condition number 4, the Planning Commission recommended the following language. The development shall be served by central sewer as part of the Sussex County Sewer District. That's acceptable to us. It just brings it current with where things are. The second part of that was, again, the original condition addressed this central sewer that was going to be an on-site treatment plant on the Marine Farm property. Because it's going to be county sewer now, that condition had to be updated. And the Planning Commission recommended the following language, which is acceptable to the applicant. And I'll just read that so, again, there's no question. This would be 17A. I think it's supposed to be added sole cost and expense. The developer will provide the properties of Jimtown with lateral and gravity connections to a Sussex County sewer district, whereby capacity is allocated in accordance with the Gosley Creek planning study. The Jimtown service area is described as those properties with frontage on Jimtown Road that are located between the existing bridge at Gosley Creek and the intersection of Beaver Dam Road. Added sole cost and expense. Developer will complete construction of a sanitary sewer transmission system of sufficient size to convey the Jimtown sewage through the Coastal Club sanitary sewer system to Sussex County sewer system within 3 years of the commencement of construction on the Coastal Club site. Based upon the established date of construction commencements, May 23, 2014, the developer must complete the Jimtown transmission system by May 22, 2017. At its sole cost and expense, the developer will engineer and construct a sanitary sewer collection system within Jimtown Road from the bridge to the intersection of Jimtown and Beaver Dam Roads and connected to the Coastal Club transmission system. The home lot or parcel owners will not be responsible for any system connection charges, SCCs, if connected to the central sewer within 3 years from the date of substantial completion of the sewer system. The developer shall be responsible for paying the SCC for any existing home connecting during the three-year period. No home, lot, or parcel owners of Jimtown shall be required by Sussex County to hook up to the central sewer unless they choose to do so. Each resident of Jimtown that chooses to hook up to the Coastal Club sanitary sewer system, with such hookup being solely at the discretion of each individual property owner, will pay the user rate set by Sussex County. So again, the point of that was to switch it from a central to a county sewer system. The developer is responsible for constructing the transmission lines, the laterals for these to hook up. The developer will pay the whatever the impact fee, the connection fee is, for a three-year period after the county accepts the system. After the 3 years, the property owner is responsible. And then when a property owner comes into the system, of course, they're going to pay the regular user charges. The there is no requirement that anyone be forced to hook into the system. It's anticipated that when existing septic systems fail or run their useful life, that would be what would be done. Again, that I think that makes perfect sense. Not everyone agrees with that, but anyway, that was the recommendation of the Planning Commission. That's totally acceptable to us. So that was motion number one. Motion number two is the streetlights.
Before we move on that one, Acting Mr. President, are we going to be able? Are we going to go back and ask questions or address each of these later, or are we doing it as we go?
Might be better to do it as you go, so we
don't.
Whatever
you want to do.
Okay. Because I'm just trying to wrap this around my brain.
I'm trying to visualize. I'm trying to keep it simple.
I'm trying to visualize. So, in summary, on this first topic, that of the septic of the public sewer for the neighboring community, Jimtown, correct?
Right.
The original agreement back in 2005 with the original developer was that they would provide, they would be able to tap into the private septic, correct? That was...
The developer was actually going to put in the transmission lines and the laterals.
And they would tie into their own private septic.
They would
which
run
is
it
no
into
longer,
the, what was going to be the marine farm
exactly.
system, yes.
Which was on the 13-acre parcel, which is no longer
correct.
Needed because we've got public sewer.
Right.
So with no timeline, by the way, correct? I mean, back then, I mean, back in 2005, there was not a stipulation of a timeline, or was there?
No, but I think what that was there was it was a private system, and it could be run into it at any time because there were no additional fees involved.
Okay. So now, moving forward, public sewer, right?
County sewer.
Correct, county sewer. You are still agreeing to the original agreement, in essence. It would just be serviced by the county, and now you are putting a three-year time frame on that.
What we're saying is the when you tie into the county system, there's a I don't remember if it's an impact fee or a connection charge.
Connection
whatever it's
charge.
Called. And what we're saying is a developer from when the system is accepted by the county, when it's operational, right. The developer will pay that connection fee for anyone who connects for a three-year period.
Within 3 years.
Within three years.
Anybody
after
beyond that, then you're on your own.
You're on your own if mm-hmm. you don't connect within the 3 years. Mm-hmm.
Do we know how many homes are in that community?
44. There was 44 voters.
Yeah, it's not,
so it's about 44.
Exactly.
Say 44 or 35 homes, I guess.
20 something?
Yeah, 20 30. Was that
only half the road.
Well, it's probably two still
some
homes.
Some lots without
houses. Oh, without okay, I got you.
Okay, and then, well, okay. So back in the original thing, there was not a stipulation regarding, you know, home. It was for the entire community. I'm just, again, trying to wrap my head around this. There was not a differential, or was there a differential, home existing home or not, or just everybody in that community, period.
Yeah, if there was a parcel of land, it could be connected to it.
Okay. And today they have septic, is that what they're using right now?
Yeah.
I guess, okay.
Well, it's not on any kind of central sewer, so I assume it's septic.
Okay.
Jim, if somebody built on one of the vacant lots within three years, came in there and put one of those Baraka homes real quick overnight and they got a home, does that three-year thing still?
Yes.
You would pay that and everything, okay.
But 3 years after it's operational, anybody that wants to hook up.
Even if it's a vacant lot or improved lot, no matter what, they have to build, okay.
And I don't know if there's anybody here that's opposing that, because typically we would have that, but you referenced, I guess, the P&Z and this original homeowners association meeting. So could Councilwoman Deaver comment on that? Because you referenced it earlier.
Mrs. Deaver, I commented in the process of trying to determine the desire of the residents of mm-hmm. Jimtown regarding sewer mm-hmm. and street lights mm-hmm. that we held a meeting down at the church in Belltown. Mm-hmm. That Todd attended and you attended, and I said that I think you would confirm that there were some strong opinions both ways. Is that fair to say?
Actually, I think most of the folks that own property and live there were fine. The problem was from somebody who doesn't even own any property there, and it got cranked up. So I'm not thinking it's 50-50. I think most of the people there were in favor of it.
We're in favor, okay. That's what we're trying to find out. In favor, okay.
We're in favor of what?
Of these conditions.
The conditions of 3 years. Sorry. Nobody's being forced. It's just the new thing is the 3 years. Before it was kind of open-ended because it was a private system. They could afford to do that. They had the ability to do that. Now it's a county system. So they added the 3-year stipulation. You got 3 years. They're going to have laterals, everything there. It'll all be paid for. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it.
Yeah, nobody's being forced to do it. If you do it for three years, it's paid for.
I can't imagine that can be an issue to anybody because you've got choice to do it.
Yeah, really, the only negative.
A new guy building a new house, he sees the cost of a septic versus hook up the county sewer. I'll guarantee you they'll go to the county sewer.
I will say that there are issues about it.
Could be. There's always
issues. We're not here on one side or the other. We're just here saying, tell us what to do.
I'm just trying to get information. Yes. That's why I'm asking these questions.
So basically, over the long haul, there'll be county sewer there that people can tie into. If they elect to do it within 3 years, it's going to be paid for. If they don't want to do it.
Very generous.
You know, they still have gotten transmission lines and laterals put in there at the developers.
So then what's the opposition? What was the opposition?
You'll hear it.
An opportunity to speak.
They will have an opportunity today. Okay.
I can't imagine, but there could be.
Okay.
Let me try to walk through so at least you know what the issues are and then
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. The motion two, this was about the streetlights. And again, this goes back to what I said about it was at the desire of the residents. And again, there were people that wanted streetlights, there were people that didn't want streetlights. And I understand it both ways. I mean, if you're used to not having street lights, they're awful bright. If you care about safety and some other things, you want street lights. So, again, we have no position about that.
One person didn't we have that didn't want street lights? It likes things. Was that just one person, was it?
I can refer to was the voting that was done.
Oh, okay.
Voting was in favor.
Yeah.
The voting was
okay.
What it was. That's all I know.
Yeah, I was listening.
So what the Planning Commission came up with on this, and again, I'll read their recommendation, which I think is a good compromise. It says, within 2 years of the commencement of construction, May 23rd, 2014, so in effect, this would be a year from now, okay? Coastal Club LLC, at its sole cost and expense, will provide for the installation of all streetlights required by Delegat, together with streetlights on each telephone pole along Jimtown Road between the existing bridge at Gosley Creek and the intersection of Beaver Dam Road. Additionally, all streetlight rental and service charges for these streetlights only will be borne by Coastal Club LLC, its successors and assigns. So basically what they said is you don't have to put up new poles because it would just be getting too congested out there, but on the existing telephone poles that run along Jimtown Road, mm-hmm. they're going to put streetlights on those.
They're going to pay the electricity as well?
Yes, there's a service charge per unit, and Coastal Club will pay that, and that there's no time limit on that. They're just going to pay that.
Okay.
So, Mr. President, I'm going to call you Mr. President.
Yeah, do that.
So, again, going back to the history and the original agreement, so 10 years ago, it was agreed that the developer would install streetlights, correct? Were there stipulations on how that would be done? I'm talking 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Not precisely.
The original condition that we're modifying said, if desired by the residents of Jimtown, within 1 year of the commencement of construction, Marine Farm LLC, at its sole cost and expense, will provide for the installation of all streetlights required by DelDOT, together with such other streetlights as are represented by a number that is consistent with one streetlight every 100 feet from the existing bridge within Jimtown Road to the intersection of Jimtown Road and Beaver Dam Road. Additionally, all streetlight rental and service charges for these streetlights only will be borne by Marine Farm LLC, its successors and assigns. Mm-hmm. So the original one was saying every 100 feet. Mm-hmm. People thought that was too much. So I think what the Planning Commission said was, let's do it on the existing telephone poles. Mm-hmm. Then it's not too bright, and you don't have to put up new fixtures.
Okay. When you say people were saying it was too much, what people?
There's people that don't want streetlights.
Some want a few, and some want a lot.
They'll have so,
okay.
I mean,
this is just kind of a compromise from what.
So again, that's what the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended. That is fine with us. We accept that. You know, we have no problem with that.
Good.
Motion three was about sidewalks.
There we go.
Now here's where you're going to go.
Don't ask me.
This is the complicated one. Again, this issue involved the desire of the residents. The developer has no objection to installing a pedestrian walkway. If that is what the county council decides, we would request that the language proposed by the commission be modified to address some practical and physical limitations. And I'm going to have Mr. Crouch explain that. Before I do that, I just want to tell you the original condition was that the developer would place sidewalks on one side of the road in the DelDOT right-of-way or on the lots where people gave easements to do it. That's what the original condition said. So what we're seeking is a modification of that. I see Todd's back, and he again can confirm our meeting was, there was strong opinions at our meeting down at the church, correct?
Confirm, yes.
All right, so Zach, if you could explain the some of the complications on the sidewalk.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
For the record, I'm Zach Crouch with Davis Bowen and Fidel. As Mr. Fuquay has stated, we're at Planning Commission, and whenever some of the objectives for the sidewalk on one side of the streets, and I've met with some of the community residents out there, and what we did from the Planning Commission was we actually came up with three options based on three scenarios, not even options. I mean, the facts are this. I mean, the condition says the developer is going to put sidewalks in on one side of the streets. Okay. Unfortunately, at that particular time, whoever suggested that didn't really look at how that's going to be done.
I'm going to keep this as pretty much plain and simple, just so that everybody understands what we're dealing with. First of all, I'm going to start out with this. As you know, I was actually at a DelDOT seminar yesterday for some of their new regulations, all the requirements, and this is what we are dealing with in an existing condition like this, where you have an existing road, you have existing ditches, and you're trying to squeeze sidewalk in 50 feet. Please note the first thing, in a local road, Jimtown Road is a local road. Okay,
But can't we?
I'm getting there.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Listen.
You can ask questions.
Listen.
Zach, there's a pointer up there, a laser pointer, if that makes it helper.
So here we got, this is DelDOT's, this is not Zach Crouch's version of making this up. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm working with to provide this service. If you run, first thing you notice is a local road is 60 foot wide. DelDOT is 50 foot wide, okay? We have 11 foot lanes and a shoulder, which we could probably get a waiver from. You got a ditch, a roadside swell. Then you have, which is all in a 60 foot right of way. Then you have a 15 foot easement on the other side of the swell for your sidewalk. Well, bringing this up, some of the community members did not want the sidewalk on their land or didn't want to give up land to do it. So, you know, there are certain things that we have to deal with based on clear zones, based on drainage, based on a number of different things between 50 feet. And unfortunately, we do not have 50 feet out there. I mean, it's just, no matter how you slice it, we don't have the 50 feet. So the next question came up to, well, how about if we curb it? Well, here's your typical section of curbing. You got a 3 foot granite strip. You got vertical curbing. You got a 3 foot granite strip. You have a 5 foot sidewalk, which is ADA sidewalk, because everything in DelDOT's right away has to be ADA compliant. Then you have a 1 foot granite strip with a 6-to-1 side slip, because if someone is using a sidewalk, bike, pedestrian, wheelchair, etc., and kind of goes over in the grass, they're not going to A, fall into the curb and into a road, and or B, fall into an existing ditch or slope. So here's the parameters that I'm dealing with to make this work, okay? I got this scenario, which is showing if we installed a ditch, they have a sidewalk and a 15-foot easement, which it will be on landowners, or we do this, which we're still going to have an easement because you have 3 feet, 5 feet, 1 feet, which is 23 feet as it all comes out, and you got 25 feet to the right of way. Okay, from the center line of right of way, from the center line of road, with existing conditions, we have 25 feet from here to here, okay, using this scenario. Counting up 11 foot lanes, 2 foot curbing, 3 foot grass strip, 5 foot sidewalk, and a 1 foot grass strip, it comes out to be 22 feet. So 22 and 25, there's 3 feet left. What we did was we did a lot of engineering on this just so that it's basically clear. All right, so the first scenario, we have an overlay with a ditch and a sidewalk, which was this scenario here, okay? The second scenario is an overlay with curb and sidewalk and a ditch, which is doing this scenario. And the third, and the only reason why I'm showing this is because of the question was impact. How is it going to impact my property? Is what we did a 4 foot bike lane, pedestrian lane on one side of the road. Okay? So a 4 foot bike lane with a ditch, relocating a ditch, You're still going to need an easement because you're still removed. Of course, when you put 4 feet on, you got to move the ditch over 4 feet. So, but there's less impacts in this scenario. So, I don't want to, I mean, I can go into this thing to really...
It'd be better, Mr. President and Todd, if our engineering department went with this and then gave us recommendations on what of these could work or whatever, because you're going to get us...
We already did this. We already had all this information. Well, go ahead, George. I don't think...
No, I'm just saying...
I'm just going to go over these really quick, Mr. Coleman.
Okay.
Just if y'all prefer to do that, that's fine as well.
Mm-hmm.
But just, unfortunately, you got a road here, which is your dotted line, and you have existing, this is tied into your existing conditions. As you can tell, through every single one of these, the road is higher than your lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can obviously see that if you go down there. In every scenario, you got your road, so when you do a swale, no matter what you do, you got to go down and tie to existing grade. That way you can get this drainage. In this scenario, you got to get this drainage from this lot that comes to here. And same thing on every single cross section. And we cross section every 50 feet on this entire road with all three scenarios. Unfortunately, just like here, you got this lot, you got the road, you got to come down and extend out with there's parameters with a 4-to-1 front slope based on DLDOT's requirements to tie into existing grade. You cannot have any more than 4-to-1, and you could request a 3-to-1 on the back slope, but you can't do any more than 4-to-1 because if a car runs off, they don't want to flip and turn over if it does run off the road. So there's certain criteria that I have to deal with to meet the Department of Transportation because this is within the right way. So here's your swale, here's your sidewalk. And most of these, actually all of them, is a 12-foot easement, not a 15. I was able to narrow it down to 12, and in some cases, 10.
So you're just saying that to get sidewalks in this, under this, any of these scenarios, you're going to need easements from the property owners?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if a property owner says they don't want to give you an easement, then I guess they don't get a sidewalk.
Yes.
But some property owners could, so there could be a linkage between the two.
So here's a scenario where we have
no sidewalk.
Or they don't get a sidewalk.
We have curving sidewalk, and there again, the road is so high here, is where you got these lots over here that need to drain into it. You have to put a ditch, even though we have curbing and gutter on with inlets on the road. You still need to drain the back portion of the site. If not, you're going to have water that pockets right here. From this lot, nothing will drain. Okay? Yes, we can put an inlet there. You still need an easement. There's your right of way.
What you're saying, you need easements to do sidewalks.
Yes.
Under DLDOT regulations.
So,
is that what I'm hearing?
So hold on. I just want to make this real
You're killing me. You're killing me.
So the easements here are, even with the curb and sidewalk, you're still looking at between 8 and 10 feet for curb and sidewalk. Now, we want to go to, I was asked to look at a bike, pedestrian path along the shoulder. And we did that just because we wanted to see the impacts of it.
Okay, more of an easement. Bigger easement required.
Actually, it's a smaller easement.
Mm-hmm. No sidewalk and just a bike path, you're saying?
Yeah, it's an extension.
Okay.
It's a shoulder.
Mm-hmm. All right, right.
Pedestrian walkway.
So basically, that goes between 8 and 6 feet.
Okay.
But that's...
Do we have to specify now?
Excuse me?
See, we have to specify all this now before you have a chance to look at all of it?
The reason why we bring this up is because, we can put sidewalks in, and there again, that's never been the issue.
Uh-huh.
We just need a little bit of help because there's only so much you can put in 50 feet. And,
I realize that.
I just want to cover one other thing.
The bottom line is...
This is going to come up. Is that... I did get a phone call yesterday. Representative Lopez and Mr. Jeffrey with the South District,
mm-hmm.
and also Mr. Miller met yesterday.
3:30.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I came back from a DLDOT conference, soon as I walked in office, I get a phone call. Uh-huh. And, you know, the comment was, well, why don't we lower the whole road by 2 or 3 feet and put drainage in and pave everything? Well, first of all, the storm drainage that's out there is existing ditches, which are best management practice, which is your infiltration. You're using a ditch for your stormwater management. Mm-hmm. You close the system, you're going to need probably an acre and a half for a stormwater management pond somewhere along the line. Plus, to lower that whole thing 2 to 3 feet, to try to get in water from Beaver Dam Road all the way down to the branch.
But this is only for half of Jimtown Road. This is not all of you. You're talking about lowering all of it or the part where people live?
No, somebody said it's just been a suggestion.
I understand.
Okay. So regardless of what you do, I
mean, what I'm saying is you're just talking about half the road, and what do you how would you deal with the differences?
It would have to be all the road.
Okay, the basic deal is...
So you'd have to do the whole thing.
A property owner, Jim, will have to make a decision whether to provide an easement to the developer to be able to get a sidewalk or not.
Yeah, I think. Are you right. Done?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I can.
There's not enough room into the current right of way.
Let me bring it back from engineering talk, because I think that gets us all confused a little bit. Obviously, Zach cleared that all up with the.
No, it's an easement's required. That's all.
I did. When he first put that up, right. I thought it was an EKG I had done recently.
Yeah.
Well, we have a number of options, I understand anyway.
So based on what Zach just told you, and obviously you see the complications of all of this, is the main point there. What we've done, we've proposed that the pedestrian walkway be on the southwest side of the street. Mm-hmm. The commission said the northeast side of the street. There's more houses on the northeast side that complicates the easement thing. We think it should be on the other side of the street because it has less impact. Mm-hmm. So that's why we want it to be on the southwest side. Again, fewer homes are impacted. It can either be a traditional sidewalk or it could be a pedestrian bike lane along Jimtown Road. Mm-hmm. It can be in the right-of-way or in easement areas where we have easements granted by the property owners. If you can see where we were going with this, if an owner will not grant an easement, we can't go on their property. We can't make them have a sidewalk. So the developer can't construct an improvement in that property. So the condition that we're proposing is... on the sheet that I handed out to you, mm-hmm. Which is number 3, it says within 3 years of the commencement of construction, May 23rd, 2014, Coastal Club LLC, at its sole cost and expense, shall provide a sidewalk or pedestrian bike lane within the Jimtown Road right-of-way, mm-hmm. or on easements granted by property owners on the southwest side of Jimtown Road from the existing bridge over Gosley Creek to the intersection of Jimtown Road and Beaver Dam Road, in accordance with approval of DelDOT and the Sussex Conservation District.
No one else can you?
And then we'll engineer it and figure out how to do it. But the understanding is that if somebody won't give us an easement, we can't put it there. It will have to be something that'll be filled in at some future date. Again, I'll warn you that this is a very disputed issue. Some of the residents may be testifying that they don't want any sidewalks at all.
Right.
Other residents. Basically, we're going to be testifying that they think all of Jimtown Road should be totally re-engineered and redesigned, okay? The condition on us, the requirement on us from the original condition, is that the developer is required to construct sidewalks.
How do they walk now?
They walk on the road.
If they walk on the street.
They walk on down the side of the road.
Mm-hmm. Or on the grass,
on
you know,
grass
in the front lawn.
There are no sidewalks.
Other words, they're not on nobody else's property. They're walking on the state right away.
I mean, I don't know as a fact, but I mean, I would assume they're on the right of way or actually on the, you know, there is a swale there, so I assume some people would walk on the road itself. But the developer was only required to put in sidewalks in the right of way or on Jimtown lots where we have an easement. That is what condition 17 required, sidewalks, and that's all it requires. And if DelDOT wants to re-engineer Jimtown Road, that's a DelDOT project.
Story. That's right.
We're
not talking
right.
about that.
Thank okay.
Right.
Number 4.
Before we move on, as we go, right? We're asking questions as we go.
Yes.
Mr. President. So, again, history. So the history says that, you know, developers shall install sidewalks, period. Okay. Did it say 10 years ago on both sides of the road, on one side of the road?
It said on one side of the road.
Okay. All right.
It said the other side. It
no. Didn't the say original either. Condition didn't
one
say either side.
Didn't say which side. Okay.
But it did say one side.
It didn't say which
side. It just said one side. It did. It was the okay. developer's choice. The northeast side came from the Planning Commission when they did that. They said that because that's where most of the houses are, which makes sense, except it impacts those houses more, and that's why we think it'd be better on the other side.
Yep.
And he's going to say something.
I just want to give one example. There's a house. See that house right there? Mm-hmm. And there's a house right here. I mean, that's how come we chose this side. There's a lot more open area to do this. We can do it. There again, it goes back to we can put it on either side. But if somebody wants to step out their front door,
yeah, there's houses where you would actually be this right, the sidewalk would be right at their door.
So the other question I have, well, really two other comments, and how did the road get so high versus that of the property? I mean, was it always that way?
God,
I'm guessing yes.
Did they just kept adding asphalt to it?
It's just an old.
They kept resurfacing it.
Just an old road.
It kept going up and.
Yeah, and traditionally roads were built, they would build a road on the highest part so water would drain off because mm-hmm. they were old cart paths at the time and they weren't paved, so you did not want water sitting there
right.
And people getting stuck. And then they would just keep building on top of that so we got
and
higher
Melvin
and higher.
And Melvin Joseph could sell more dirt.
And Jimtown's been there for well over 100 years, so yeah, the roads have been there at least that long.
Right.
Do some of the homes have flooding, do we know, right now, based on this elevation of the road?
Well, again, that's beyond the scope of
maybe
what
maybe they'll share that. Okay, so the other point that I had, though, was, gosh darn it, how going back, again, 10 years, because this is all based on the history here, that's why I keep referring back to that. How did we get to, maybe you said this earlier, and maybe I was thinking and not listening at that time, and so I apologize. But how did we get to this point where, as the developer said that they will do this, I assume back then, 10 years ago, Jimtown residents had agreed to it or voted on it? Or so, how did that happen?
Well, again, it goes back as far as, like I said, there's some residents who were in favor of everything.
Because I'd love to have a developer build me a pool. Whether or not I would agree to it or not.
Again, it was a voluntary offer from the developer, which certainly the developer originally thought it would be accepted with open arms. However, there were people that didn't want any of these improvements, and there were people that wanted all of them.
Well, here's the point. Jimtown is a historical area, a black area that has, and there's very few of them left, and it's under a lot of threat. And they were afraid that this big development was going to impact them, big negative impact on them. So we were trying to do some protection for Jimtown to preserve that neighborhood, that community. Mm-hmm. And the council felt that streetlights are beneficial to most communities, sidewalks are good, and sewer is good.
Yeah.
And we didn't tie any of them to having to do it, and it was imposed as a way to help, I think, the community of Jimtown.
So it's basically
it's all that was benefiting them, and the developer agreed to do it. At that time, because they wanted to get approvals, number one, yeah. and there was a lot of opposition from the Jimtown residents.
Well, I would say it was two things. It was obviously they wanted to get approval, and that's why mm-hmm. that's a motivator on a lot of these things. But it was also recognized Jimtown was, you know, fairly, I don't want to say isolated, but it stood alone out there, mm-hmm. and it did have a history and a tradition out there. Mm-hmm. The new development was going in right next to it. And it was recognized by the developers that to have the more modern development right next to Jimtown, you know, was a disservice to the people that lived there. And that's why they said, look, we can tie that Jimtown in to the services we're going to be providing. It's fair. It was the right thing to do, and that's what they did.
But
let me just mention again,
sure.
the sewer, the water, and the doing the paving the road, all right, that was all required. That's a required condition. The streetlights and the sidewalks were the ones that had that hedge word on them where it said, if desired by the residents. And that's why we're here, because we still don't know what
the desire is. And also the concern was you get all the new developments getting all the infrastructure. Here's these older areas are sitting here not benefiting from all this development that was happening in Sussex County. So we felt Jimtown could be benefiting from this development.
So 10 years ago, again, where I would presume, maybe you could recall Councilman Cole, I don't know or not, but were the residents of Jimtown supporting these items?
As today, 10 years ago, they were still.
Nothing has changed in 10 years.
Nothing's changed. Too much. But all I can tell you is we do have a vote, and a vote did favor, the people who voted to have streetlights and things. So we can work off of that. But as Mrs. Deaver probably saw at a recent meeting, there's still strong opinions both
ways. Okay.
So that you just have to understand. I mean, from my point of view, I think sidewalks are beneficial. I think streetlights. I have certain notions about these things, and I'm sure other people do.
Okay. And I think part of the concern is that when this development gets underway, there's going to be more traffic on the road, too.
Oh, yeah. Traffic, and then with the additional traffic, just with just regular growth further down the road and everything else, sidewalks, again, will be safer. So, but again, we didn't think we had to force anybody, but we wanted to make it available to them, and that's what we've tried to do.
Okay.
So.
Motion number four, this is condition number one. This is really a technical correction that Lawrence actually had already resolved this. I have a letter from Lawrence. It's in the exhibit packet that you had. The original application was for 650 units, of which 432 were going to be single family. As part of the approval, 20 lots were deleted by the council, so that reduced the total number of units to 630. But what wasn't done at that time was the number of single families, which is what was eliminated, wasn't reduced by 20. So it was just a technical error. As I said, Lawrence already acknowledged that, but we thought that since we were amending the conditions, let's get it right so it says the right thing. So the amended condition, again, that's recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission is fine. Motion number five, this actually gets simpler. So like I said, the sidewalk's really the big one. This addressed the request to remove the 13.4-acre wastewater treatment plant site from the RPC, and I've already explained, why that was. This was the site of the wastewater treatment plant. If you remove the 13 acres from the RPC was 374 acres. So it has a minuscule impact on the density of the RPC. Okay, the density actually changes from 1.68 units per acre to 1.74 units per acre, which is low density to start with, and the impact is minuscule. What the Planning Commission, in particular Mr. Johnson, was concerned about was that if you remove this piece from the RPC, you had a 13-acre MR zone piece of land, and he was concerned with the 4 units per acre density that's permitted in the MR. Now, when you consider the facts that this is no longer needed and it's separated physically from the rest of the development, it's going to be sitting there as a just an unused piece of property. The developer did pay $2 million to get out of the Tidewater service area. As I said, the site's physically isolated, and leaving it in a growth area that's served by county sewer, it just doesn't make any sense. On the other hand, the intention wasn't to increase the density. This would probably be developed as larger lots, and what I'm proposing is that again, let me just read the language of my thing, which I think is appropriate, if I could find it.
Right here.
Go back to AR1.
Yeah, I got it right. I got it. Thank you. All right. Motion number five is what I was just proposing is the 13.4-acre site was the planned location of a wastewater treatment plant, which is no longer necessary due to the development's location in the Sussex County Sewer District. The 13.4-acre parcel is therefore removed from the RPC designation, but shall revert to its original AR1 zoning designation, which would be, 2 units per the acre. So that's what we'd request you to do on that.
Which is different from what you originally applied for. You asked for it to be MR.
Well, it was part of the original MR-RPC rezoning.
I understand.
All right, so, you can either... I think you have it. I'm going to be up to Everett to tell you this, but I think since we're seeking to be removed from the RPC, I think you can condition on what zoning you're going to give us when we come out of it, or you could just put a condition on these conditions that if that's out, then it's AR.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everett could tell you how to get there.
What does the developer plan on doing with those 13.4 acres?
At some point, I think Mr. Thompson would be owning that property from the RPC. I assume at some point in time it would be developed as a small subdivision. Residential,
So therefore, no longer really being part of it.
It wouldn't be part. Like I said, it's physically between the creek and the wetlands. Uh-huh. It's not attached to it. And last but not least, motion number six. The first part's just house cleaning. Throughout the conditions, it refers to the Marine Farm LLC. So we're just changing that to Coastal Club LLC, just to bring it current with who the developer is. So that obviously is not controversial. Condition 13 addressed the Eagle Wildlife Habitat Conservation Area, which, as I told you, is no longer required. The language that was presented by the Planning Commission, the language is acceptable. We just would like to add an exception to it. What the Planning Commission said is, well, let me back up a second. What we were requesting is that this would just be removed from the original language. It would stay as basically open space, community space, but it could be used as amenities and things of that nature. What the Planning Commission said is the former 42-acre wildlife habitat area shall remain an open natural area in perpetuity with uses limited to trails and other passive recreation uses. There shall not be any residences, structures, pools, clubhouses, or similar amenities constructed within this area. And what we're asking is the additional language of except elevated community garden plots, improvements associated with the community garden, such as storage buildings, gazebos, a community farmer's market, and similar improvements, and a replica lighthouse. And I'll explain why we're saying that.
Another one.
You can't see it much on here, but this is the area we're talking about. Uh-huh. Right across from that area, this is the recreational amenity complex right here. And, you know, there's extensive, you know, clubhouse, swimming pools, tennis courts, you know, all the stuff that normally goes with that. One of the things they have here, or they plan to have here, that is kind of unique is they were going to have a community garden where people could come in and plant things and take care of your different stuff. Mm-hmm. And they were going to have little places where the you could sell the produce that's there to the community. It wouldn't be out to the public. And this is going to be over here. That is a little bit out of character with the other things going on there. So the idea was they'd like to move it across the street, directly across the road here, into this area. So the only structures that would be built there would be these, they're elevated gardens. It's like railroad-sized.
Raised beds.
Good. Yeah, raised beds.
Good.
All right. And then I said some storage buildings, like for equipment and things.
Right.
And then we're going to have like these little farmer market stands, which I think is really neat, actually. So we're just asking if that exception, that'd be the only exception. This area over here, this is wooded. The rest of this is open, so it's mm-hmm. not like it's interfering with something.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Because it's just something's popped in my mind. Mm-hmm. How much design work have you done on the rest of this site with have you planned your development? The rest of it has all been planned?
Yeah, it's all planned.
So you've done all the engineering mm-hmm. work. No, I was just curious. It's a shame that we couldn't take that 42 acres and move it where the wooded area is and actually, you know, preserve some
trees.
Some beneficial, you know.
Trees,
2,250,000.
This has all been planted in.
Oh, okay. I don't
know.
Some crazy number.
Okay. 25,000. Well, again, getting near the creek is probably again more beneficial to keep runoff.
We're trying to replace woodlands in now because
it's
25,002-foot trees.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. But
and then the lighthouse is a little unusual thing. But if you put it on Route 1 and 5 points, mm-hmm. the lighthouse there.
Mm-hmm. How did you get that done?
It says Coastal Club on it.
That was a mystery.
That's kind of the symbol. It's kind of the logo of Coastal Club.
Oh, we know.
And it's out there for advertising, obviously. But at some point in time, they wanted to move that back into the development. And again, it would just be a symbol of development. So we'd like to have that there. So that's the,
that exception language, if you could add that to what the Planning Commission stated, we think that's reasonable. In summary, if you follow the Planning Commission's recommendations, with the requested modifications we listed, we're fine with that. And as I mentioned to you, there are people here to speak on these conditions, and I will defer to them for their input and their comments. And unless you have any questions for me, I will sit down.
I do.
Council, have any questions?
Yes, Mr. President. Motion number 5 and motion number 6, the 1 through 4 were voted on by the commission as stated here. Were the other two, motion 5 and motion 6?
On page 14 and 15.
Mm-hmm. I mean, on this pamphlet here that you provided.
On the commission report, on page 14 and 15.
Oh, okay.
Just on here, you did not provide yes, they agreed or not agreed, or that's
I'm sorry, I'm not following you, Mr. Orlett.
I can't help you.
There were six motions, and we addressed the six motions.
Here on this, this is what you provided, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Agreed, 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 agreed. There's nothing.
Unless I'm missing it.
Let's say they want to modify in accordance with what they had on five and six.
Gotcha. So number six, I am seeing the agreed. I just didn't see it. It's not as visual as the other four. Is it different? I'm seeing it. I'm not looking forward.
It's getting late. It's getting late.
So, okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. If there are no other questions from counsel, then do you have any other witnesses, Mr.
No, that's everything we have to present.
Okay. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition? Sir.
I need to see that motion, if I can get a copy of that, please. The six motions that were put forward.
I believe, is that the one?
Is there a copy of the motion that was put forth, the plan and zoning, on the night in question?
We have the Mr. Blank's report to council. Is that what you want?
If that's possible, please. My name's Mike Miller. I live in Jimtown. And Mr. Fuquay, I think you spoke for almost an hour. I'm not going to quite be that long, but I would like to speak freely without being asked to sit down. And I won't repeat myself.
Okay, that's important.
Okay. A couple housekeeping. Let me go over some of these things that were discussed. You asked Mr. Arlett questions about the sewer. You asked questions about the water, the street lights. And I have the original ordinance here. So, yes, 10 years ago, within 3 years, the sewer was to be completed for the Jimtown residents. It wasn't open at any time. So back 10 years ago when they started, and they did start, black stripping was put up, dirt was moved in, permits were asked for. So within 3 years, we should have had these things that they already said that they were going to give us. So here we are, you know, with a little bit of history coming forth again. When they put these signs up in Jimtown, they said...
if you would, who's they?
It was Marine Farms at the time.
The developer, okay.
The developer.
Former developer.
Former developer.
Thank you.
So at the beginning, just to bring you up to speed where I'm at, I saw these signs. I said, let me come to the hearing. I came to the hearing. I saw all these big elaborate plans. They wanted to use Reese's Lane. They were going to be coming through Jimtown. And I said, oh, wait a minute. This is going to have a big impact on us. If we go back 10 years ago, if we look around at all the different developments, Gosling Creek might have been the only one that was there or was a hot topic for being built. Now we have the retreat at Love Creek, we have Morning Glory, we have Lewis Crossing, of course we have this development, we have the Rottens at Rehoboth, we have several developments. In Jimtown is a cut through. Okay, so what we may have agreed on 10 years ago, we're also now asking for the new developer, Coastal Club, is now asking for different requirements, things they want to take out, things they want to put in. And I think that residents of Jimtown ought to be able to be afforded the same right. I heard Mr. Fuquay, you know, giving a lot of information, but he wasn't giving you all the accurate information. You know,
I object to that. That's misrepresenting what I stated.
I'm going to say
here,
what
we're
you
here
said.
We're here on our application. Yeah. We're here on our application, not on what you would like to change from the past.
Mr.
This is an application we have.
Mr. Fuquay, go ahead.
Thank you. I believe he's out of line. I think if I'd done that, y'all had been asking me to leave the place. I hope not to have that interruption again, Mr. Fuquay, and I will explain
Mr. Miller, just
what I mean by that.
Address us.
Do we have that application, that information I was asking for? The
yeah, he went to make copies.
Okay.
I'm going to get me some water, if I may, real quick. Anybody else want water?
I'll have some, please.
Oh, gosh.
So while we're sitting here in the law, Everett, he made a statement that the applicant's trying to change things. Does he have the ability to change things? So you could maybe just elaborate that this we've extended applications, et cetera, and
right. And that's what the purpose of this hearing is, to address that issue. They've requested to make certain changes, and that's why we're having the public hearing. It was originally, the application was approved 10 years ago. There's been certain extensions for the approvals. Now it's getting ready to be built. They're here with an application.
But we're not looking at new plans, are we? Over and above what's already
just what is requested here.
Right.
If this gets denied, the original set of conditions apply, correct?
That is correct.
Right. So we're not sitting here to change things. We're just trying to, go backward. We're trying to change what's already been set.
Mr. Arlett, you asked a question about 15 and 16 on the, I think, which were the last proposals, which were the modifying the plan to fix, to go inside of the 13 acre or the preserve. All I see is 1, 4, 13, and 17, which were a part of the ordinance for change.
You are seeing that where? On the documents you just received?
Yes, change of zone 1764 Coastal Club. And the modified condition numbers were 1, 4, 13, and 17.
Can you confirm that?
That was in the first sentence, and then it goes on to read, and to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential plan community, to an MR medium density for a certain parcel of land, and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, for a 13.425 acres, more or less, portion of the property. So that was included in the advertised title.
Okay, so what we're talking about now, putting a market on that site where it was for the Eagle.
That's their land. We're talking about their land.
Yes, but when we came for the planning and zoning meeting, the planning and zoning was specifically said that we don't want to disturb the Eagles, the buffer around there. We're going to leave it alone, and that's what was asked for. And so now today I hear we're asking for to put markets, to put storage facilities.
Not in that area, no.
Where are we asking for that to go?
Outside of that circle, is what I mean.
No, Mr. Deaver.
You're talking about, okay, I thought you were talking about Coastal Club and their the Eagle.
I'm trying to get an understanding.
What was indicated on the last motion, they agreed with the proposals for that planning and zoning had made kind of the housekeeping there. However, what they've asked for is that they could have, in effect, a raised bed garden in those areas.
But that's not
gazebos.
In the Eagle.
Yes, it is in the Eagle.
It is within the Eagle Preservation.
Okay.
The night of the meeting in question, it was, we just want to remove it since the Eagle's not there, and we do not want to build anything on it. We don't want any storage buildings. We don't want anything there.
I'm going to object because it's just misrepresenting what we stated. This is not true.
If you have the record from the planning and zoning.
Frankly, what we're concerned about is the presentation that was made today. Address the presentation today and what your desires are. If you oppose discussed today.
I expected to come and speak about what we spoke about, but when I get new things added as we go along, now I have to try to address those and catch up. Okay? Now, with regards to...
Before you go further, if I may, real quick, just for clarification and confirmation, and as you go along, because again, I have to understand, because there is a lot going on here, so... Because there is you're disputing what was presented at Planning and Zoning as what was just presented today. So I'm going to go back to Mr. Lank. Is there a differential written that we have in our folder right here, right now? Is there a difference what is on paper versus what was done physically at Planning and Zoning?
The commission.
And also what was articulated earlier.
The commission and the recommendation to modify the reference in 13... and stated the former 42-acre, in quotes, wildlife habitat area, which would be the eagle area, shall remain an open natural area in perpetuity with uses limited to trails and other passive recreational uses. There shall not be any residences, structures, pool, clubhouses, or similar amenities constructed within this area. The reference to what Mr. Fuquay submitted in the application today, asked for a modification to that language by adding except elevated community garden plots, which we referred to as the raised gardens, improvements associated with a community garden, and that was storage buildings, or gazebos, and community farmer's market, and similar improvements as it relates to the elevated community garden.
I thought that was
and a replica lighthouse.
13 acres.
No,
this is an angle spot.
So, with that being said, there is a difference. So, with that being said, is because of that, does it need to go back to planning and zoning for that?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
What happens? Those were the conditions that were raised by planning and zoning after they had a hearing. It is often the practice if someone goes through a hearing. They then afterwards see the conditions made, and they might have a question, why did planning and zoning put that condition on? And they certainly have a right to come before council and ask, you know, this is what planning and zoning recommended. We would like to see a change to this. Oftentimes, going through hearings, you will hear something slightly different from planning and zoning to county council because maybe the applicant heard something that they want to modify, maybe make it better project. So the fact that there was a request today that we would like that condition be modified does not require it to go back to planning and zoning.
Okay, thank you.
I would add, it's stated by the applicant in the public hearing before the commission on April 9th. And it was early on in the presentation that the 42-acre area previously designated as an Eagle Wildlife Habitat Conservation Area shall now be designated as community open space and may be utilized for passive or active community recreational uses or natural open spaces. No construction of residential units shall be permitted in this area.
No construction.
So stated by the applicant.
So it did permit what they requested, asked for active recreation, not just the passive recreation in that.
That's what they stated, and the commission commission stipulated what I read first, and then the applicants requested a modification to what the commission recommended.
Two reasons. The
Eagles, so they can build a couple of buildings.
The Eagle's already gone.
Eagle's gone.
Number two, he's not on the Federal Reserve, on the Federal Endangered Species anymore. He's not. So there's two things, reason why this is gone. This is why this does not pertain to us today. That's why he presented that way.
Okay.
It's loud. So I don't know how many acres it was, but anyway, that circle, 1,500 feet across, 750 feet around. So that's why that's not even.
Well, you know, there was also deer there at one point in time, but if you start disturbing the area, they're going to start running somewhere else. So that doesn't mean that
It means they're gone, that's all.
Well, that's what they say. You can't, maybe he's still there.
You can't hold on to past it. He's gone for, anyway.
Back on track.
Yes, let's go back.
Okay. It was presented that 44 residents or so live in Jimtown. And then there was a list that was circulated around with 44 or so residents. What was not given to you when you asked for this vote, when the community action came in and we all voted, and some people didn't vote, but in this vote, the yes for the street lights 10, the no's 4. That 10 represents one vote from myself. I own 4 properties. No.
Could you continue to clarify?
Listen, can I interrupt them when they speak? Can we ask that they stop doing that, please?
Just proceed.
I handed in a packet at the planning and zoning meeting, which indicated how people voted. And when I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I'm speaking on behalf of Ms. Williamson. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I'm speaking on behalf of Ms. Cynthia Highland, Mr. Monroe Brittingham, Mrs. Arlene McGlung and David McGlung, Mr. John Bellastellos, Mr. William E. Miller, Mr. Cliff Gibbs. Now, I think that's about 8 votes. I do own 4 properties. These 8 votes that are here were the ones that were turned in, and then I also got a copy of them. Now, as I stated a while ago, these 8 votes, I voted one time, but I own 4 properties. Mr. Cliff Gibbs voted one time, but he owns 2 properties. The vote is really more than this 10.
So you're indicating you voted in favor?
Yes, I did. The vote is more than 10 if you want us to vote for each individual property. But I did not vote for each individual property. If you look at the list, it's all I say on here is that I own properties 5, 6, 7, and 9. I only voted one time on the sheet.
So for the record, the 10 votes reflected 10 individuals, correct?
10 individuals.
Correct. Who own properties.
Who own properties.
Okay. And the 4 no votes are 4 no individuals that voted against it that also own property, correct?
Are they property
owners? I would assume that they're property owners, but they may own more than one property.
But it's 4 individuals versus 10 individuals in the
yes.
voting. That's, thank you.
So if it is 29, okay, and you wanted to add more properties to each one for myself and Mr. Cliff Gibbs, then we're up to over 16, okay, which is a majority, I would say. But what they want to say, the developer has said, is that they don't know how we want to proceed. Well, it was put into record 10 years ago. 2007, tried to get it taken out. It got dismissed, in a sense. They withdrew it. Here we are again back in 2015, wanting to try to remove because they don't know how we want to go. As I stated in the meeting when there was planning and zoning, an election was asked for. And the people voted. I don't know how we're even having this discussion as to how we want it to go or not go. Because the majority says that we want the street lights and we want the sidewalks. And the vote is in your packet. I do believe y'all have the copy of this vote.
Mm-hmm. So in regards to the street lights, you're actually in favor of their application to be sure and put the street lights there then.
Yes.
On the existing pole.
Yes.
No, here's...
You want every 100 feet you want a pole.
Here's what was read about the ordinance for the streetlights. It says, and it was left out of this. It was left out of the 1770 when they back in 2007 the conditions. It was left out as to the 1 year commencement and how far it is. It's there. It says, if desired by the residents of Gentown within 1 year of commencement of construction, Marine Farms LLC, now Coastal Club, at its sole cost and expense will provide for the installation of street lights required by DelDOT. So within a year. Now, I know that the planning and zoning said, let's push it back another year and let's make it 2 years. I'm not in favor of that. Okay, I'm in favor of streetlights, but I'm not in favor of pushing it back. It's been 10 years. It's time to get this thing going. They have streetlights and they have all the infrastructure that they're putting up inside of their place. Let's start getting the lines running down to Jimtown. And it needs to be started now. Now, what I proposed, I said from Jimtown Road, Beaver Dam Road, to the bridge, is 2,700 feet. If we went by the ordinance says that we would have 27 new poles erected with streetlights on them. So that would be 27 streetlights from Beaver Dam to the bridge, because it's 2,700 feet. What I said was, is that since we're making changes, that I would like to see just utilize the pole so we can get the street lights going and go from, because Jimtown is not just to the bridge, Jimtown is from Robinsonville Road to Beaver Dam Road. There's 15 poles from Beaver Dam to the bridge. If we just utilize the poles that are in existence, we would only be putting up 15 street lights. There wouldn't be any lines that have to be run. So I said, let's go all the way to the end of Jimtown Road, to Robinsonville Road, where there's still only a total of 21 poles. It's still less than the 27 that have to be erected, and there's still less lines that have to be run. All they're going to do is hook up to what's there, and Jimtown will be lit up all the way from one end to the other, which it actually is. That was my proposal. Only a part of it got put into the plan that since, and I was the only one that said it, and it says Jimtown residents desire to have the poles put up. No, that wasn't everybody who said that. It was only one person. That one person was me. So when Mr. Fuquay spoke earlier about it, he said that the residents only desire for them to be put up on poles. No, the residents never said it. Mike Miller said it. Okay? So that's what I want to make sure that all the facts get presented. Okay? And it's on record at the planning and zoning meeting.
Okay. So, but we're here now, and so you're...
We are here, but so, I want to make sure position, the facts are
said,
sir.
I just want to make sure we understand your position. Your position is use existing poles, and your position is not change the length of time, keep it at the 1 year, and that it go from Robinsonville Road to Beaver Dam Road.
Yes, based on the fact that we are a cut through, maybe 10 years ago, we didn't have to be concerned about everything that's going on. But because the high traffic volume that comes through there, the road going all the way to the end, there have been multiple accidents, you know, because more people are coming through there at the end of the road. Cars flipping over, they come down, they can't see where they're at, they don't see the stop sign. It needs to be lights all the way from one end. I don't know how you can differentiate and say just because there's no homes down there that Jimtown should be treated any improperly. Okay? The developer happens to own on the other side of the creek that runs through.
Do we have a visual, Mr. Lawson? I know earlier we had the map. Are we able to put that back up?
I can. If you give me.
Is that? Because I would like to visually see what we're doing here.
Go ahead, Mr. Miller. I'll set it up.
The developer owns all the way from the creek of Jimtown Road, where the bridge is, to the other side, all the way to Robinsonville Road.
Which sides? Both sides?
That was originally a part of the plan for 20 homes to be built. That was taken out of the plan when there was opposition. And I guess it sounded like that was taken out and it doesn't want to be a part of the medium density or whatever, so that later on Mr. Thompson will be able to develop and do whatever he would like to do with it.
After he would come before council with an application before planning and zoning.
Let me interrupt a minute. Mr. Moore, if I'm looking on the planning and zoning, or the old, I guess the old Act 2005 recommendations, we referenced there that a certain area, are we able to go to Beaver Dam Road Robinsonville Road? Because it looked like we were always talking about a certain area in most of the references to sewer and all these other issues. Mm-hmm. Have we expanded beyond the original?
Not that I know about
it. Yeah. I hear, like, I'm looking under streetlights. C, I guess it is. It says, consistent one street light every 100 feet existing down within Jimtown Road to the intersection of Jimtown Road and Beaver Dam Road. There's no reference to Robinsonville Road.
Right. It doesn't.
Is really that out of our scope? Or are we stuck with basically? I mean, are we able to expand onto that? That might be something you might want to advise us later on. We might not be able to.
Seeing how is now a Sussex County sewer. That is running.
Well, I'm just saying we've referenced this certain area throughout this ordinance.
Right.
10 years ago, we've extended these ordinances. It would be a legal question for Mr. Moore. Are we allowed to go, like you're asking, to go to Robinsonville Road on some of these sidewalks or streetlights or any of these things? So we're not sure if we can actually do that. I question whether we can go beyond the scope of what's in what we're dealing with.
Right. I would need to look at this.
You can always make something smaller. We can make it shorter.
Right.
But we can't go bigger.
Yeah, but
right. But I was just trying to get on the record so we understood what his position
we've
was.
We've made a conditional use, and we've made changes to their MRPC, and we've taken lots out, and we've taken out 13 acres. And so now, later on, when he decides to develop on those 13 acres or those other 40 acres, do you think for a minute that sewer is not going to be, since it's running down Jimtown Road, is not going to hook right into those lots up on that other side of that creek?
Key word there, he took out this, they took out that. They're allowed to take out. It's hard to put in is what we're trying to do.
And right now we're focusing on
we're getting ready
lights.
To put in and allow them to put structures up on Eagle Preserve.
We have not yet. That is what they requested.
Okay, so since we're clear, we're not allowed to put in, we can take out.
We're also, when it comes to Jimtown, you're off-site. There's off-site considerations and there's on-site considerations. So the Jimtown issues with sidewalks, sewer, and this are off-site, not on their property. Then there's those issues affecting their project. So there is a little difference in my mind. So anyway,
there
that's...
Well,
the other council people.
To refocus,
too much of a difference in mind.
Okay, I understand.
No, you're thinking philosophy. You're talking geography, Mr. Councilman Cole is. But nonetheless, to refocus, okay, streetlights. The original suggestion by the developer was, you know, every pole. That's what I heard earlier, and they're not against that.
No, that wasn't the original.
It's 100 feet.
Well, I mean. Existing light poles.
What was discussed today?
Correct. Today
was every pole.
Correct.
That's okay. And what Mr. Miller is requesting from every existing pole for a longer distance than that, from Robinsonville Road to Beaver Dam Road.
No, that's not correct.
Okay, continue.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, in the ordinance that was put mandated. If we're going to compromise, let's compromise. If we're not going to compromise, then we don't. It says every 100 feet, we'd get one. So if we want streetlights, we just leave streetlights in. They put them in every 100 feet. We have 27 streetlights running all the way down. That's what it sounds like. What I'm saying is that it would save them money. They wouldn't have to put poles up. They wouldn't have to run electric under the line. And if we put pole street lights on the poles that exist, there's only 21 from one end of Jimtown to the other end. Mm-hmm. That was my proposal. Mm-hmm. What planning and zoning took from it and what Mr. Fuqua took from it was, is that if we can get away with doing these just on the poles to the bridge, then that's what we'll do. No, that's not what I said. So I'm in favor of street lights, but I'm in favor only if they go down. If they're not going to put them all the way down to the end, which would be 21, then I want all 27.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Got it.
So that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Is that
so
clear?
Go ahead with your...
You want the ordinance followed.
If that's what we have to do, yes.
If it can't go to Robinsonville Road, he wants it followed.
Right. I want the ordinance followed.
The definition of Jimtown is what? It's not the whole road, is it?
We're about to get the visual here. We're about to get a visual.
Oh, Jimtown Road.
No, the community.
The whole community is Jimtown. When you turn from down Robinsonville Road, the sign says Jimtown. When you turn from down the other end, just because no homes are down there yet, doesn't make it not be Jimtown.
Everything they talked about was bridge to Beaver Dam, and I was told that that's the only Jimtown we're talking about, so I didn't know. That was the only town.
So, very clearly, I'm saying it was supposed to be a year. Now we want to make changes and make it 2 years. I don't want it to be 2 years. Sure. I want it to start now if we're going to follow the ordinance.
Could you share on the visual here what we're talking about regarding the 21 versus 27 and the roads that you're referring to?
Where are we at?
Jimtown Road is right here. Beaver Dam. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, where's that pointer at, Todd? Or, excuse me, Mr. Lawson. Here we go.
Sorry, that's the best I can
do. Oh, we lost it.
Uh-oh.
Did I do that?
Yep, there we go. Back.
Okay.
Zap the computer.
I don't think we have... Do we have all the Robinsonville right there?
Well, just... We lost it a little bit down at the end there, bottom. Just... That all these pictures popped up. Can we get rid of those pictures?
Oh. Every time I hit the pointer, it does that.
Hit the wrong button.
You're going to have to get Todd the pointer.
There we go. From there to there, right.
Okay, but every time I hit the pointer, it does it.
Okay.
Well, let's not hit the pointer then.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, use the mouse.
There we go.
Okay. This is Beaver Dam. This is Beaver Dam Road, Route 23.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the development in question is being built right in here, and originally all of this was consumed all the way to Reese's Lane, coming through here, and then this development right here, which is part of the development, which is owned by Mr. Thompson, which he once removed, is Jimtown Road. And so from the creek running on down here is also with this development, which is being asked to be removed. Now, so do you understand, Mr. Arlett?
I do. I just want to, you know, can you clarify earlier, you're talking about the 21 versus the 27. So I just want to see the visual of that, if I can, please.
So from here to the road, which is waterway, which you can't quite see, I think it's right there, to the waterway is 15 poles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And from the road to this point is 2,700 feet. So that would be 27 street lights running down from the end of Beaver Dam to the bridge, okay? I'm saying let's run these street lights continuously all the way to the end of Robinsonville Road so that all this is lit up. If anyone ever comes through there, you'll see that it's very dark and isolated down there, okay?
There's no homes there, but you're saying for safety reasons it would be beneficial.
It would be beneficial for several reasons, safety being one, sidewalks being continued being one, trash If anyone comes through there, do you ever see the trash that's all over the place? Does anyone come through there? Well, it's so dark and isolated that if it's a lit up intersection, that maybe that just won't happen. Okay? We do have some pride in what happens in Jimtown. Okay? As you said, it's historically old. It's 100 years old. Okay? So if we're going to treat it right and we're going to do the right thing by this development and we're going to do the right thing by the Lewis crossing down here, then let's treat Jimtown right also. Okay? So if we're going to make changes, we're going to add to the Eagle, we're going to add to the land, we're going to add to the land here from Mr. Thompson, let's add to this. And you're not really adding because it's only 21, it's still 21 lights versus 27. I don't know why we can't compromise on that. So that's where I'm at. You understand? Yeah. Am I clear about that, Bart?
We understand what you're trying to ask for. You're asking for.
Okay.
Just the streetlights, right? Just streetlights.
He said sidewalks, too.
You mentioned sidewalks.
I'm going to get to the sidewalks when I get to that presentation.
Okay.
Okay. I heard sewer being discussed inside, and Mr. Arlett, you asked a question about sewer. Where were we at? And I'm coming back to that because you asked, did it have to be done within 3 years? And that was never even a part of the 1-4-13 because it got changed over to the Sussex County sewer. And so the only thing that was still getting done was that we would still be hooked up to the sewer. It wasn't a question about whether the sewer was going to get done. I know the question was asked, do we still want it or do we not want it? That was never even a question, okay? That was not even something that we were supposed to vote on. The only thing that we were concerned about was streetlights and sidewalks, and that's why we had to plan and zone it, other than the couple pieces of legislature that they wanted to take out, which was the MRPC and change the name to Coastal Club and those things, okay? So moving to, yes?
So the sewer, as it relates to your questions, I mean, do the residents of Jimtown want sewer, public sewer?
Yes.
Access to public sewer?
Yes.
And that was also voted, correct?
That wasn't
voted on. That was not voted on at the meeting, you're saying?
That wasn't voted on. What was said is that the sewer was coming through. The residents could hook up if they wanted to. It's within the 50-foot right-of-way. It was coming down the center of the road. So really, the Jimtown residents had no say-so in it in the first place. And I'm fine with that because I want sewer. You asked, was there any impact on the waterways? I'm going to show you some the waterways in a little bit.
So are you okay with a three-year stipulation?
I'm not okay with a three-year stipulation. They have sewer being hooked up right now. There's homes being built. To date, I stopped by there before I came. They've sold 17 properties. That's just Shell Brothers. NV has sold about 10 lots. And so that's 27 homes when they do get done that are going to have sewer. The sewer, the main line is running down already from, they went out or from there across the road to the Elks Lodge, which is here. This is the Elks Lodge. Mm-hmm. So the entrance to the place is right here. So they went out across the Elks Lodge. They went across the road. They pumped the sewer all the way down to Lewis Crossing for it to be hooked up down there. Just bypass Jimtown, okay? I don't know when we're supposed to get a pumping station or supposed to be getting ours put in. You can still ask me all the questions you want.
Oh, I will.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So I would like for the sewer to come through Jimtown now. It's been 10 years. Why should we have to wait another 2 years? And I'd like to know what the plan is if we do have to wait. How it's coming through? When's it coming through? Is it coming down Reese's Lane? Do we have to wait for a pumping station from Sussex County? You know, who's providing all that? And when that line is actually coming down Jimtown Road?
I think, if I may, the question that I have is, and I
believe the applicant's question was, or at least presentation or offering, if you would. Maybe those are all the wrong terms, but the 3 years was based on when it became available. The SOAR became available to Jimtown. Is that correct, Mr. Lank?
Mike Izzo?
Or Mike?
I can answer that question.
Mike Izzo, wait, let's ask
Mike. If I recall, the applicant said 3 years from once it was available.
No.
I can go back to the original. That's where we're asked for a modification from.
Mr. Miller, would you object to a request I have right now? We have Mike Izzo, our county engineer. Could he come up and explain to us the engineering situation currently, why you can be hooked up, you can't be hooked up,
and we'll
get a clarification, because right now we're just beating around a little bit, and he might
okay.
In one minute.
I'd rather continue.
You continue on, then we'll have to get it clarified
and,
afterwards.
And if I may, counsel, remember that the way we normally handle our hearings, an applicant will make a presentation. We'll listen to the applicant, and we may have a few questions. Typically, it's after they're complete.
Okay.
Then we normally allow the opponents to get up and speak. We allow them to go through their presentation, listen to them, and then if we have questions, go through it that way. I think it would be more orderly because the speaker's being interrupted multiple times here. Let him go through in order.
Can I respond to this question?
Yes.
Well, I was going to read this, sir.
Well, you go ahead then.
At the sole cost and expense, Marine Farms, which is now a Coastal Club, will provide a sanitary sewer transmission, but now it's the county. Farm sanitary sewer system to the Marine Farms sewage treatment within 3 years of the commencement of construction. So I have two, if we're going to say three, I have 2 years now I should be hooked up. Is the way I read this.
Could that be interpreted commencement of the public sewer? I mean, or back 10 years ago of private sewer? Or is it of the construction of the homes?
I would prefer that we let him do his presentation, and then we'll ask Mr. Izzo, the council can ask, because we're going to be doing a yo-yo up here.
Okay.
Well, it says clearly that from the commencement of construction, not construction of the sewer, when construction starts. Same way with the street lights, it says within a year of construction commencement that the street lights go up. So if we want to push that back 2 years to 2 years now, this has been pushed back 10. And I know we'll get an explanation from Mr. Izzo, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, with regards to water, I'm fine with the water. I don't think that was an issue. The main thing that I want to get to next, which is, I guess, these street lights, okay? And, or the sidewalks, I'm sorry. Sidewalks. In the ordinance, it says, and I think the question was asked, and we were talking about sidewalks going down one side or the other side. It says, if desired by the residents of Jimtown, within 1 year of commencement of construction, Marine Farms, now Coastal Club, at its sole cost and expense, will provide a sidewalk at its sole cost and expense. It was never an economical amount put down for how this was going to get done, how it was going to get engineered. It was as their sole cost and expense, we're going to do this. Come hell or high water, we're going to put these sidewalks in and streetlights. So then it says, as required by approval agents and contracts, with no agency objects, the residents of Jimtown indicate the preference, either within the Jimtown right-of-way on one side of Jimtown Road from the existing bridge within the road to the intersection of Jimtown Road and Beaver Dam Road. Okay? So, yes, from the bridge and so forth. Now, these votes that came in, these votes were on I guess as the counts of the planning and zoning said, we're on the side where most homes are at in Jimtown, which is on this side. The northeast side, I guess, is that the northeast side, Zach? That's what they recommended. Okay. We were the ones that voted and said that we want the sidewalks. We want the sidewalks on our side. It says here clearly that the Jimtown residents get to decide where we want them, on what side, either side. We want them on that side. We keep going back and forth because what's happening is they're not trying to do what they've said in their own ordinance, what the county has said and what they have said that they'll do. We want them on our side. The plans that were elaborately laid out to you were laid out on the other side. That's not the side we want them on. We want them on our side. So a plan needs to be drawn up to have them come. What they don't want to do, in my opinion, is put them on our side because there'll be too much work that has to be done because existing homes are here. Okay? If you put them on this side, there's maybe 4 or 5 homes on this side. There's a lot of open space and field in between here. But we want them on our side. And the planning and zoning agreed and said, let's put them on this side. So there's the drawings and everything that you've seen from a bike path on this side, the south side, to a sidewalk on this side, and how it's going to set up on someone's property shouldn't even be decided upon. It has no bearing because it's being done on the wrong side. Now, I met with Mr. Zach. He came out and met with me. We went through Jimtown with me and my father. And then yesterday, Senator Ernie Lopez, Mr. Jeff Reed, the South District engineer, and one of his supervisors came out to tour Jimtown. And I've been saying all along what I would like to see take place in Jimtown as far as the roadways. And there is a 50-foot right-of-way. You asked the question, Mr. Arlett, earlier about the road being built up. Well, every year or every other year, they come through and tar and chip. We don't have blacktop. We have tar and chip through Jimtown. Okay, so layers upon layers, and the road, of course, the road seems to be higher right now because over 25, 30 years from getting tar and chip, it's going to keep getting built up and built up and built up and built up. Now, I don't know how thick it is, but I can imagine that it's more than what it was. The question that I posed to Mr. Reed with Mr. Zach on the phone, we called him and talked to him. Question was, and it's in the record, I asked the question the last time, can the road be graded down? When you go into the development where the Coastal Club is, and if you ride through, you notice that it's a new community. So, of course, it's being graded like it should be to make sure that everything's done. It's going to have sidewalks. It's going to have the street lights. It's going to have, and so the property sets elevated. And so when the water runs off, it comes right out, comes into the inlets, and fine, no problem. But we are in an existing area. So my suggestion and what I said was, why can't we, it's not an engineering thing. It's the pipe is going to be running through Jimtown right down. The main for the sewer is running right down the center of Jimtown. You're going to have to dig down and put that sewer pipe in. You're getting ready to disturb that whole road to the gym, to the bridge. Why can't we grade Jimtown Road down so that we have a road. We have, my suggestion was, I want to see the sewer, the ditches covered, okay? If we can see Mr. Zach's first elevation. Can you put that up, Mr. Zach, please? How do I get your elevation up?
For it's still the, on there, Zach. It's still there. F11.
Okay. Can you, so this down the bottom is with the curb, okay? The road, if the road gets graded down, that's one thing. Even if the road is not graded down, you can see that there's 2 foot of curbing, okay? The road is 11 foot. It's a 50-foot right-of-way. We're talking about 25 feet. If the road is 11, we still have 14 to work with, okay? So 2 foot of curbing, 3 foot of grass strip, 5 foot of sidewalk, 1 foot for the pedestrian ADA requirements, and then we have the grade. No one in Jimtown, and I spoke with Mr. Zach about this, will have a problem with an eyelet being put out so that we can catch the drainage into our, into the, if you cover up the ditches, okay, if you cover up the ditches with this drainage here, this is the road, mm-hmm. This is the 2 foot curbing, mm-hmm. This is the 3 foot grass strip, and this is the sidewalk. The sidewalk and the grass strip would run across the drainage, which is the ditches that are in existence right now. If we put eyelets in at these curbing to let the drainage run into the piping and let the eyelets from our backyard run into the piping, this right here will run down Jimtown Road to the stream that's already there, that creek, covering those ditches. If we're going to be out there doing construction and digging and putting piping in, there's no reason why we cannot put, just like in their development that's been done, there's no reason why that can't be done through Jimtown. You're getting ready to disturb the whole way Jimtown life is. You can help fix some of these things that are there. I'm going to show you my presentation. Is it, how do I get to it, Mr. Lawson? It should just be on it. I think it's on the desk. Yes. This is what I presented when we were with the planning and zoning.